Flyers Daily with Jason Martinez.
All right, here we go. Brand new Flyers Daily for the final day of the month of May 2024. Flyers Daily is brought to you by Ticketmaster. Make more memories live. Yeah, final day of the calendar month of May. One more month with hockey in it. Playoff hockey, conference finals, and eventually the Stanley Cup final. And then the month of July, no hockey month, with the exception of free agency. Draft will happen just prior to that. Matter of fact, the draft is going to happen coming up on, it's the 62nd NHL entry draft. It's expected to be held on June 28th and 29th at the Sphere in Las Vegas. So we're kind of ticking down just about, 4 weeks away from the 2024 NHL entry draft, where the Flyers hold a couple of first-round picks. We'll see if they use both of those picks. They will draft 12th overall. We know that at this moment with their pick from this past season. So that is what's to come. We've done a lot of interviews already in our Flyers Exit Day interview series. So far, here's what we've done so far, just to give you some backlog. And maybe you missed some of these guys. You want to go back and check them out. You can always go back in your queue, whether it's on your podcast app or on YouTube. We started out with Joel Farabee and Ryan Poehling, Sean Couturier and Yegor Zamula, Morgan Frost and Scott Laughton, Travis Konecny last week, and Garnet Hathaway. And then this past Wednesday, we featured goaltender Sam Ersson. And in this episode, we're going to feature Owen Tippett. Coming up next week will be Cam York and Nick Seeler. Nick Seeler, another one of those players like Owen Tippett, who signed a contract extension in season. Then Travis Sanheim and Jamie Drysdale. Could those two end up being long-term partners on a blue line pairing, I wonder? Tyson Forster and Bobby Brink. Noah Cates in there as well. So still a good amount to go till we get to the NHL draft. And in this episode, like I said, we're going to feature Owen Tippett. Now, Owen Tippett, of course, came here a couple of years ago in that Claude Giroux trade with the Florida Panthers, brought the first-round pick, brought Owen Tippett to Philadelphia, a guy who needed opportunity, needed to be able to get into a lineup with consistency. And since being in Philadelphia, it's going pretty well. In Philadelphia, as a Flyer, 176 games. He's got 59 goals, 50 assists, 109 points in that time, averaging over 16 minutes and 47 seconds of ice time. By comparison, he played 94 games with the Florida Panthers, and he averaged only 11 minutes and 56 seconds of ice time there, and only had 14 goals, 19 assists, and 33 points. So the opportunity that he was afforded by coming to Philadelphia and the way in which he's grabbed that opportunity, a 27-goal season in 22-23, a 28-goal season last year, 49 points and 53 points respectively. So his Flyers numbers in those now parts of three seasons, the 109 points, 59 goals, 50 assists for Owen Tippett. And like I said, he signs that 8-year contract extension. Going to kick in next season, cap hit of $6.2 million. All said and done, 8-year deal, $49.6 million for Owen Tippett. As we sit now, really the big number when you look at contracts, sometimes we get a little blown away with sticker shock by the deal and the number, the average annual value. But the real number that matters and the number that matters most, and this is one that will decrease over time, the term of Owen Tippett's contract, it is the 7.43 cap percentage of cap that his AAV takes up right now. 6.2 is the AAV, but the cap hit or the cap percentage is 7.43 percentage of the cap. We're going to circle back to that percentage of the cap after we get to our interview, when we talk about the contract or the next contract for Travis Konecny. We'll look at some comparables and what they've got as far as a deal going forward in a long-term pre-UFA extension when we look at Matt Barzal and Timo Meier. But let's get to our Flyers Exit Day interview series conversation with Owen Tippett, a pretty soft-spoken guy. Doesn't play the game soft-spoken. I'd like to see a little more edge to his game. But here's my conversation with the big Flyers winger.
It's Flyers Daily and Flyers Exit Day. We're with Flyers forward Owen Tippett. Damn, you knocked on the door of 30. Yeah. I wanted you to get there.
I know. I was pushing for it, but away she goes.
You're shooting more than ever. Cognizant approach to come in and, use your greatest weapon even more?
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's something I've always kind of used and had, and you know, I'm never one to really pass up a shot. So anytime I have a chance, it's always going to try and go on net, if not in.
Tip, one of the great moments of this year. I mean, you had a goal of the year, I think, at the NHL Awards. We're going to see it again. The Spinorama backhand. Take us back to that, if you can kind of bring yourself back to that moment. I imagine for you, you can't even kind of delve into your thought process because it just kind of happens.
Yeah, I think that's one of those plays that it's just all reactionary. You know, obviously coming down, you're not thinking of doing that the whole way. And, you know, it's funny with plays like that. It just, that's what just kind of opens up. And as soon as I took a step to the middle, I knew I wasn't going to be able to go anywhere. So,
you know. But it went in and you're kind of like, seriously, I just...
Yeah, that's one of those ones you're more just trying to get it on net more than anything, but...
I guess, you go bar down on it.
Yeah, I guess if you're in that spot, it catches the goalie off guard sometimes, too.
Talk about how comfortable you feel as an NHLer now. It just, to me, when I watch you, I can see your confidence in your creativity. Mm-hmm. When the confidence comes, the creativity follows right with it. How comfortable do you feel now? Obviously, you signed the contract extension this year. That part's out of the way. But where do you feel like you are as an NHLer right now?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head. Obviously, just the confidence is a big thing. You know, coming over 2 years, it seems like it was yesterday. But I think it was one of the better things to happen to me, just having a fresh start and being able to kind of relax a little bit and get back to just playing hockey. So, yeah, I think, you know, just confident and comfortable in where my game's at. And, you know, there's always room for improvement and, you know, excited for next year.
What's one of the areas that you want to add to the arsenal? You know, players that score in sports. I remember back in maybe in the late 80s when Larry Bird from the Boston Celtics said, I'm going to go this offseason because they didn't win. And I'm going to go this offseason and put a few more tricks in my bag. And people are going, geez, you're dominant already. You're going to add more? What do you want to add to your game from an offensive standpoint?
Yeah, I think there's always little tweaks and stuff to add. I mean, whether it's big tweaks or little tweaks, but for me, it's just kind of fine-tuning and, you know, staying sharp on the little aspects of offense. And, you know, I think a big part for that is just shooting and making sure, you know, that's where it needs to be and, you know, different release points and deception. So,
do you look at other guys around the league? I mean, Austin Matthews obviously is knocking on the door 70 mm-hmm. goals as we speak. And he's a great shooter. He pulls it in, moves it away from his body, moves the puck on the blade mm-hmm. of his stick, close the shoulders, open the shoulders, everything to deceive the goalie. Will you look at other guys and what they do?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for him is I think everyone knows he can shoot and, you know, he gets in those areas. And I think that's the biggest thing that he does differently is he can separate himself and find those pockets. And, you know, I think a lot of guys can learn and that's especially something too that I can kind of look at and just kind of see and see how he jumps to those spots and gets open and puts himself in those situations. And then obviously having the shot he does, it doesn't give much chance to the other team.
It's one of my favorite terms, find good ice. Mm-hmm. He finds good ice. Yeah. what are you going to do to detach from the season? How do you separate the two now?
Yeah, I think it's pretty standard, but just take some time off, maybe get away here for a little bit and just use it as a reset before going into training and starting to worry about next year. So, yeah, just take a bit of time here and kind of unwind and reset.
Well, Tip, you have the contract done. Feels good to go into the offseason not even thinking about that for the next 8 years.
Yeah, that's nice. Obviously, when it can get into the summer and drag on, it can be a bit stressful. So, you know, I was happy to get it done early and easy decision to stay for 8 more years.
Spend a little bit of that dough this summer. Enjoy it. Get a new set of sticks there, a little set of golf clubs or something. Enjoy the off season, Tip. Thanks for doing this. Thanks for all the, you know, times you said yes this season as well. You never say no. So thanks for doing this and enjoy the summer. We'll see you coming up soon.
Awesome. Sounds good. Thank you.
There he is. Owen Tippett joining us on this episode of Flyers Daily. Real chill guy. Doesn't get overly emotional, obviously off the ice, but on the ice either. I like to see him initiate contact a little bit more, use that big frame that he's got and that size and speed and muscle. With all the physical tools are there with Owen Tippett. And the shot, sensational. He's 25 years of age. He'll be 26 coming up on February 16th. He was taken 10th overall back in the 2017 NHL entry draft. And you know, big frame, 6'1", 210, can skate like the wind, and has serious, serious skill. We saw it. We just talked about it. That goal that he had, the spinorama backhand goal. Just an unbelievable play to be able to make that at full speed. And I've said this time and time again, when you can see when Owen Tippett is a confident, dictating the pace, dictating play forward, because there's a lot of creativity that comes out in his game when he's got that confidence. When he doesn't have the confidence, sometimes it might look a little safe. But when he's got that confidence, he'll try things. And look, you're not going to succeed all the time when you get creative in your playmaking, but you are going to keep the opposition on their heels because they're not going to know what you're going to do. You become unpredictable. And when you can move like he can move, you can shoot like Owen Tippett can shoot. When you can skate like Owen Tippett can skate, and you have that size and strength, that's a dangerous player. Owen Tippett, I'll tip it off now. One of my bold predictions next year, absolutely a 30-goal scorer. We may dip into that 35 range. The Flyers could just get the power play going. He's a player like Tyson Forster, too. Two really good flank shooters that can really fill up the net on a power play that moves the puck around and is unpredictable and has got a really good plan of attack to set guys up with the great shots like Tippett and like Forster. So great stuff from Owen Tippett. He's a guy I really enjoy covering because, again, very just chill. But I would like to see a little more toed in his game coming up in his what will be, I guess, technically parts of his fourth season as a member of the Philadelphia Flyers. All right, we talked about it before. You know, we talk about a contract that was signed in season for Owen Tippett. That's rare to see players sign in season, although Nick Seeler did it as well for the Flyers and extend. A lot of players just don't want to talk about contract stuff during the season. It distracts them. They'd rather wait to the offseason. Owen Tippett was in the final year of his deal. And if Travis Konecny doesn't get a contract done this summer and he's eligible coming up in about a month, July 1st is when he is eligible to be extended to a max 8-year contract, then he would be going into the season with that. And could we see an extension in season for a player like Travis Konecny? Sure. But you get the sense that if something's going to be done with Travis Konecny, whether it's here or anywhere else, it's probably an off-season thing. So I would suspect that that will be the case here. Now, TK is a guy that has a letter on his jersey. We know the amount of, you know, what he means to this Flyers team. We've seen him grow as a player from when he came into the NHL in the 2016-17 season. He was a 2015 NHL entry draft pick, 24th overall. Played 1 year back in junior. Has not played in the AHL. Came right up, made the Flyers in the 16-17 season. Played that year as a 19-year-old. Had 11 goals, 28 points. Was a minus 2 on the season. Played a decent amount of ice time that year as well, averaging over 14 minutes of ice a game. That's as a 19-year-old. Came in the next year in the 17-18 season. Boom, 20-year-old, 24 goals, 23 assists, 47 points in 81 games played. If you were worried about his size, the fact that he's a little diminutive in stature, he's not a big guy, as everybody knows at this point. He's 5'10", 190 pounds. But if you were worried about him being able to handle the rigors of the NHL, he's proven that he can do that. 81 games in his second year, then a full 82 in the 18-19 season. Boom, plop down another 24-goal season, 25 assists and 49 points. And then the 19-20 season comes, the first year of Alain Vigneault. They play 69 games. He plays 66 of the 69 games. Again, 24 goals, close to a 30-goal pace that year, 61 points in 66 games, only a minus one, 16-48. You're seeing his ice time increase year, year, over year, over year. And obviously the pandemic hits. TK does not have a successful trip to the bubble, just has a really big-time struggle, and comes back the next year and has a down year. In 50 games, in that 56-game shortened season, he had 11 goals, 23 assists, and 34 points. Played it, his ice time was down, 15-54, and then he bounced back in the 21-22 season. Now he's a 24-year-old, 52 points in that year, 16 goals, 36 assists. it's his second highest career point total to that point, but again, it wasn't at the level that he was in 1920. The resurgence really happened when John Tortorella came for Travis Konecny. 60 games played, had a couple weird injuries in the 22-23 season, but in 60 games played, he had 61 points. He was a point-per-game player, 31 goals, 30 assists, and a new career high in points in a season, and played over 20 minutes a game. We also got our first look at TK on the PK. We found out what another asset that he brings to the table now is being a very good penalty killer. He's a power play player, at least on this team he is, but he's also a penalty killer and a very effective one that can also drive offense off the PK. Then you look at this past season, 23-24, missed a few games, 76 games played, 33 goals, 35 assists, 68 points, and he played 19 minutes and 50 seconds of ice time this past year. So he sets a new career high for points in a season in total with that 68. The contract that he's under right now, the one that is expiring after next season, was a six-year contract that he signed heading into the 2019-20 season for 5.5 AAV. So it was a total of $33 million, and he locked up for a good chunk there, and that deal is set to expire. There was no restrictions on it, no modified no-trade clauses, no protections, none of those things. So what does the next deal for Travis Konecny look like? Now, there's a lot of chatter out there. There's a lot of pontificating. You know, there's info out there that TK's looking for $10.5 million. And I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again, all throughout my career as a broadcaster. Information gets out there with an agenda. And when a player's coming up for, you know, on a period where they can extend a contract, there's going to be a lot of information out there that has been put out there with an agenda. I see the number 10, 10.5, and I go, I don't think so. I don't think that. Look, does he want that? Sure, I do too. I haven't scored 30 goals in the NHL or been a point-per-game player ever, but this is just info that gets out there via agents, that this is our number. This is the beginning of a negotiation. And unfortunately, some of these negotiations start out semi-publicly. But the number of 10 or 10.5, I think, is a little too high. The number, I think, that the cap that they'll probably get to, I think, will be about 9.25 AAV on an eight-year extension, which will be 9 years from now, because he has the last year of his existing deal at 5.5, and then the extension would kick in. Now, if that was the case at TK's age, that would take him up till he's a 35-year-old player. Now, we've seen players that are built the same way, play into their mid-30s, and play very well. Joe Pavelski's still going. He was an 03 draft pick, for goodness sake. You see players like Brad Marchand continues to have really good years into his, you know, early to mid-30s. That players, you don't have to be a big body. Sometimes the big body's more to carry, and those players have a harder time kind of adjusting as they age. Every player is different in that regard. So I'm not going to say, you know, the last 2 or 3 years of a contract to the 32, 33, 34, 35-year-old seasons for Konecny, would you be grossly overpaying him? Because, again, it's about cap percentage of the cap hit. So if it, let's just say for argument's sake, the contract right now, the extension was 9.2 million. That'd be about 11.15% of the cap as it sits right now. The reason I know that is because Matthew Barzal is making $9.15 million on his eight-year deal, and that is 11.09% of the cap. That's what he got from Lou Lamoriello and the New York Islanders. And you can look at Timo Meier, another guy who is a good comparable for Konecny, and we'll compare their numbers over the past five seasons as well. Timo Meier got $8.8 million, a full no-move clause for the first 4 years, and then a modified no-move clause and no-trade clause for the final 3 years. And Timo Meier, 8.8 AAV, is his deal. So, and again, that's 10.54 percentage of the cap, 8 years, $70.4 million. So how do the players stack up from an on-ice performance perspective? So I took the last 5 years, basically the years that these players, all three of them, Konechny, Meyer, and Barzal, were basically their 22-year-old season through last season, which is 26 slash almost 27. So Konechny over the last 5 years has played 331 games. He's got 115 goals, 161 assists. That's a total of 276 points, and his average time on ice has been 18.09. On a team that's power play has been pretty bad, he's got 21 power play goals, 9 shorthanded goals, and 17 game-winning goals. Now, the numbers breakdown, that's an average of per 82 of 68 points a season from Travis Konechny over those 5 years. 28.4 goals per 82 and 39.8 assists per 82. And again, his contract extension would take him till 35. Timo Meier, who does have the $8.8 million contract over his seasons of 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26 years of age. He played 357 games, had 139 goals, 149 assists, 288 points. He had 39 power play goals. Holy cow, big number. Zero shorthanded goals and 17 game-winning goals. And he played an average time on ice pretty close to TK, 17.54, a little less. Meyer, over that period of time, per 82, 66.1 points per game, so 7 points below Konechny's average points per game. He averaged 31 goals over each of those seasons. TK averaged 28.4, so Meyer's got more goals per 82. 34 assists per 82. Konechny had 39.8. And like I said, Konechny 68 points, and Meyer 66 points. $8.8 million cap hit for Meyer. Okay, so let's take it a step further. A guy that was also in the same draft as Travis Konechny in 2015, Matthew Barzal, was taken 16th overall by the New York Islanders. Barzal, just like Konechny, played a little bit of junior, came right into the NHL basically, didn't play in the AHL, jumped in rather quickly. So in those years, 22, 23, 24, 25, and 26 years old, Matthew Barzal has played 331 games. He's got 88 goals, 207 assists, 295 points. He's got, no shorthanded goals, 15 power play goals, and he averages a little more ice time than TK at 19 minutes and 11 seconds. Now, per 82, he's averaged 72 points a season, which is 4 more points average than Travis Konechny over that 5-year period. He's averaged 21.6 goals per game. Again, TK is averaging 28.4 goals per 82. Barzal, way ahead on assists, 50.8 assists per 82 over that 5-year stretch. And again, the points just 4 off. So you can go, well, Meyer deserves more money because he scores more goals than TK, 2.6 more goals per 82. But Barzal's getting more, and he only averages 21.6. And Barzal is going to be locked up in his contract at 9.15 till he's 34 years of age. So those are two really good comparables that Travis Konechny can cite. Now, the other part of this is a player gets paid not necessarily on his performance. It's also when they signed their contract. I remember when the Chicago Blackhawks, in the late years of the dynasty team that won 3 cups, I remember, I think it was Brent Seabrook was making more money than Duncan Keith. Duncan Keith is the better player, but he was making more money because Duncan Keith signed like a 12-year contract, and Seabrook signed a contract more recently when salaries, average salaries, were higher. So Konechny, a couple years after Barzal, or after Meyer, there's going to be more money, especially now that we're back in a rising cap world. So there's going to be a little bit of growth in salary just because of that, because the HRR, the hockey-related revenue, is higher. Caps are going up. And again, it's about percentage of cap. So that's why I pegged the number at for Travis Konecny on an 8-year extension at $9.25 million. Now, I understand, and I can see, I can feel it now as I'm saying it. The people in the comments below on YouTube, or somebody's firing me up a DM or an email right now. 9.25 for Konecny is ridiculous. Again, don't get caught in the 9.25. It's going to be about percentage of cap. And through the life of that contract, it's going to be a rising cap. That cap hit, that 11% of the cap is going to go down and down and down and down till probably 4 or 5 years in. It's about 7% of the cap hit of a team. So that is what's going to happen. I get the sticker shock of 9.25 for TK. He's only had one season where he was a point-per-game player. He's not on the level of guys like McDavid. Guys like McDavid and those otherworldly Matthews, Kucherov. Like, to me, they're 16% of the cap players. McDavid right now is getting, I think, 13 and change. That's about 16% of the cap. So he's not at that level. But that next tier down is where he falls. And again, it's not just about what he's done. It's also when you're going to hit free agency and what the market will bear. Now, the last part of this is this. When a team opts to either extend a player who's been a very important player for the Flyers, he's been their most prolific scorer, offensive player, he wears a letter, he plays the game, wants to be here, how this negotiation or how this plays out has an effect on two things. It has an effect internally on the existing roster of players that are here. You know, players want to know that, hey, if I perform well, I'm going to be taken care of. Not overpaid, but I'm going to be taken care of. I'm going to get market value to be a good, successful player, a good citizen for your organization, and a good role model for it. And TK's been that. So there's that effect of how, if you say, nah, we're just going to walk away, this guy has been good for us, but we're not going to pay him what he's going to get on the open market. So that sends a message to your existing team. But what it also does is it sends a message to all the players in the NHLPA. It sends a league-wide message that Flyers don't want to spend money. They had a homegrown guy that they drafted in 2015 into being one of their best players. And when it came time to pay him, they traded him for assets or young players that weren't making money. And that sends a message to those other players. And 99 times out of 10, perception is reality. So I think that there's other elements at play and how the Flyers handle this, and Danny Briere and Keith Jones, and how this negotiation goes, that not only obviously speaks to Travis Konecny, but speaks to the other players that are here now and potential players that could be targets going forward. That's the other thing to consider. What say you? All right, Monday, it'll be Bill Meltzer. He'll join us again for a brand new edition of Mondays with Meltzer. And next week, again, our guests for the Flyers Exit Day interview series, Cam York. And by the way, he can sign an extension as well this summer after July 1st. And Nick Seeler will have a Blue Line special coming up next week here on Flyers Daily. So join us then. We'll be back Monday with a brand new Flyers Daily.